Before we started, or actually when I announced to you the first time that we were going to have a friend day, the Lord directed me to the passage where we are tonight to begin tonight's sermon, Luke chapter 14. And I would like to refer you to that passage again, Luke chapter 14 in verse 16. The Bible says, "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many. Invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Tonight I've called this message a full house, that my house may be filled, a full house. And you'll notice, and we talked about this a little bit, but you notice in here that there were attempts repeatedly by the servant to go out to ask people to come in. Do you notice that? There were people that were bidden, so there was some sort of an invitation that they had received from the Lord themselves. And then those people who were bidden then were reminded by the servant that the supper was now ready. And at that time they said, well, I can't come. And there were a variety of excuses. One, because he said I'd bought a piece of ground. And another, because I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I've got to prove them. Another one, because my wife won't let me. And so then he said, well, in that case, the supper's ready. Go out into the lanes, into the streets of the city, and bring anybody, the poor, the blind, the halt, the maimed, just bring them. And still, there was room in the house. And then he said, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. So to have a full house, to have people here under the preaching of the Word of God, that they might be saved, that they might be disciples so they can grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they can actually grow enough to learn to serve and reproduce themselves by inviting their friends and discipling others. You know what that takes? That takes a lot of invitations. So I would say the first thing that we saw in this friend day this morning is that you have to, first of all, invite many. You have to invite many, because by the time the service comes that you've invited them to, there will be people who will have an excuse for not coming. Several of you said to me today, well, I invited so-and-so, but they can't come. They're ill. Somebody said, well, they can't come. They just bought a house. I said, well, I remember reading something about that in the Bible. And other excuses, some legitimate, and some really not legitimate. When I say that, there was nothing so pressing that they couldn't have been here. They just decided not to come. You know what I noticed? I counted the names on the list, and we'll talk a little bit more about that list, but that list of names we made so we could pray, right? I counted the names that ended up finally on that list, and there were 96 names on the list, finally. I also noticed from talking to you that there were other people that you asked who you knew weren't going to be able to come. Their names never made it to the list. So there were actually many more invitations than there were names on the list. But I would say easily over 100 people or 100 individuals were asked. And some of those individuals actually represent families of people who could have come. Right? There's a lot of people that were invited. I look back over the invitations that we made and discussed with Ann. She asked some, I asked some, and so forth. We invited 30 people to come to the Friend Day, and 3 came. And I don't say that disappointingly. I'm saying that if we hadn't invited 30, none would have come. But we invited based on what we saw in this text and based what I preached that night. I said to myself, if you're going to expect them to do it, you're going to have to do it yourself. And I didn't know that we had invited 30 people until I looked at it tonight. And in fact, we had. But 3 came. And praise the Lord for those 3 came, because one of those got saved this morning. Yeah, it was a tremendous, tremendous things. So something to keep in mind. This isn't the only time that you're going to have an opportunity to have somebody come to church with you. There'll be other opportunities. And keep in mind that when we have those opportunities and we've set aside a special day for preaching the gospel, you'll have to invite a lot of people to expect some to come, or even few to come. And that's okay. Because those invitations that you have made are not invitations that are wasted. They have been invited. They know that you care. And they know where you are. And they know what it's about. So invite many when it comes an opportunity to ask people to come to church. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 18 and notice another thing. Invite many. And secondly, in Luke chapter 18 verse 1, we read this. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with him? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? First of all, you want to invite many, and secondly, you want to pray often. He said here, men ought always to pray and not to faint. As a matter of fact, we got a chance to do that, because one of the things that was impressed upon my heart is that as you were inviting people and we knew who you were inviting, we would put their names on the list. And that way, every Wednesday night when we gathered together for prayer meeting, that list could be distributed to everybody that was here. And at least that night, everybody that had been invited would be prayed for. But you know something? Not only were they prayed for on every Wednesday night, but many of you took those lists home. And you prayed for them often during the week between the services. And then, as the list grew, at least on 2 occasions, I sent the names on that list to those of you who are on the group of people that pray for others in the church, and you prayed for them when you got the text and perhaps many times after that. You know, that's a lot of praying. That's a lot of praying. And I want to tell you something. Those prayers were effectual. Those prayers meant something to God. Those prayers meant something to you when the folks you invited came. Those things, prayers meant something to me. And I can tell you from my perspective, from what I saw, what I experienced, a number of things that the Lord did in answer to your prayers. I would say, perhaps these are in some chronological order, but maybe not exact chronological order. I would say the first thing is that we wanted to give our guests a gift so they could remember being here. And the first gift that came to my mind, and I mentioned, I think, to Kim and I mentioned to Ann, was a pocket knife. Somebody said to me later, you know, that's probably not a good thing to give people a weapon when they're pocket knife is a nice thing. In the right hands. but Ann and Kim put their heads together and others got to thinking a little bit about this, we came up with the idea of the tumbler. You know why that's such a good thing? People like an insulated tumbler of that size, particularly with a lid on it, and they can drink tea in it or they can drink coffee in it or whatever. But every time they do, they're going to remember that they came here. And that's important because we want them to know that they should come back and that they are welcome to come back. Do you understand? That's a meaningful gift. It's a useful gift, but it's a meaningful gift. But I also thought that I would like to give them some sort of a booklet on salvation. And the thing I had in mind, I couldn't find. And then it seemed that the Lord impressed upon my heart to write the booklet that we gave them. That we called Already on the Other Side, but I didn't want it just to be words on a page. I wanted it to be illustrated with pictures. And so God impressed upon my heart that we should call Lotan Kreitzman, the fellow that we met in California who does artwork and is going to be doing some artwork for some videos that we're going to do. And so I contacted him. I told him what we wanted. He said, well, I'll see if we get going on that. And then I got going on writing, and lo and behold, everything came together. We got it all printed, and Thursday evening, we finished the printing, the editing, the printing, the putting the cover on, the stapling, the trimming. The books were done in advance of the service. And I thought to myself, that was very quick. But you should read the booklet. We have it. We'll kind of get it where we can pass it around for you. It's the story of my neighbor that got saved many years ago and intersperses the gospel that was preached to him and is titled based on something he said, the first words out of his mouth after he got saved. And it encourages the people who read it to do the same thing. So if you have somebody that came here today, and they're not saved and they didn't get saved here today, if they read that booklet, it's a second time that the Lord is going to impress upon them the gospel in some sense, very nearly what they heard today. And I'm excited about that. Who knows, it's something we may even be able to use in the ministry of our church going forward. But the Lord, I believe, really answered our prayers because we got the right gift and we got them done in time. Not only that, did you notice the weather this morning? It had rained and there was a big band of clouds just north of us that was coming this way to dump rain at the time we were going to start the service. And I thought, you know, that might just be enough to discourage people from coming. And that rain, we need it. I hope it comes tonight, but we didn't get it today. I thank God for that. And I've prayed a lot for the rain, so it was kind of like, ugh. But I do remember saying to the Lord, at the right time. And I appreciate that. Do you know these kinds of meetings that we had this morning can be stressful? People have to coordinate the right music, and greeters have to be ready to greet and pass out visitors' packets, and specials have to be sung just so and arranged. And you know something? The people that were involved in taking care of those kind of things, no stress or very little stress. And I say that because they weren't running around like, okay, now, Pastor, what should we do? No, there's that. Just everything was easy going. And when I see that, I see that gentle work of the Spirit of God present. That's what I see. Easy going. People didn't have to fuss and fight over where to sit. It was just easy going. I'll tell you another thing that was a very, very direct answer to prayer. There were a lot of people here this morning that were invited. I didn't count the numbers of people that were here, but there were a lot of people here, and that was a good thing. And I saw smiling faces on the faces of the people invited, people that came. We had a late arrival, and I know that William and Evelyn were very excited. They were going around their neighborhood inviting people, and so I was over here singing, and I looked up, and William was coming from the foyer with two older people that he invited with a big smile on his face. Look, that was just, I mean, that to me is, that's exciting. That is tremendous. And that's an answer to prayer. It's a direct answer to prayer. I also, and this is something that you wouldn't know, but I know, you know, you have a lot of people here, and you have people here that are visiting for the first time. You want everything to go just right. And so in preaching, it can be a little stiff. But it wasn't. There was great, I say, liberty in the pulpit this morning. God could say what he wanted to say with a great deal of clarity, and there was no pressure, as they say. No pressure on my end. God just doing his thing. That was a great testimony to the answer to prayer that you had prayed. And then I'll say this, during the time that we had a couple of babies here, and they squawked a little bit, but you know, babies, two things babies can do during the service that can become very distracting. They can cry and whimper a lot, and they didn't. And the other thing is, they can be real cute. And a friend of mine said, a cute baby is worse than a crying baby. Because all the people around the cute baby are like, and we didn't have either one of those going on, you know. So that was a great blessing. much anyway. That's God has to get involved in that. And I'll say also that during the invitation, you know me, I don't have long invitations, but this invitation went on a little bit longer, needfully, because there was no hurry. There was no hurry and there was no pressure. People needed to make a sincere decision about what they heard, needed time to consider that, and time for the Holy Spirit to work and let them know, yeah, I was talking to you. And throughout that invitation, there were people that got up just a little at a time, coming forward to receive Jesus Christ. Everyone genuinely interested in their own souls. All the personal workers I talked to indicated the people were very sincere. And the ones who got saved, very genuine conversion experiences, very genuine decisions to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So a lot more confident to be able to not just say they made professions of faith, but that they truly trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior today. That's a work of the Spirit of God, and that is a very genuine answer to prayer. And you say, that seems like a lot of things. It takes a lot of things to be able to do something like this, particularly in this day and age. People are not comfortable coming forward at an invitation so much today. But they didn't seem to have any problem with that or hesitation today at all. And I thank God for that. I say, those, if you're wondering, did God really answer our prayers? In many, many ways, He answered our prayers. And that's a wonderful thing. And so, you know what I say? Pray often. Invite many and pray often. And then there's something else in this text. And I'm actually applying what you're reading to the people you invited. In other words, I realize that I'm taking the context of Luke chapter 18 and making an application that is outside of the context but not outside of the principle that's revealed in the context. Okay? Look again in verse 5 of Luke chapter 18. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her now, lest by her, what are the next two words? Continual coming, she weary me. Now this was a judge that didn't fear God and didn't regard man. So because he didn't regard man, he wasn't going to be pressured like political pressure. Because he didn't fear God, he didn't feel like he was accountable to God, whether he avenged this widow of her adversary or not. He was his own man, going to make his own decision. But he said, the thing that's going to wear me out here is her continual coming. So, number one, invite many. Number two, pray often. And number three, keep asking. Keep asking. When Brother Ronnie got up and gave his testimony, he said, I've been asking him and asking him and asking him to come. And then he approached me about his son being baptized. I said, okay, well, we got a friend day. Now's a good time. You know what that was? That was continual asking. You know what that is? That's keep asking. In other words, you've asked somebody to come, and they kind of got excited. They didn't blow you off. Said, yeah, I may do that, or yeah, I will come, and then they didn't come. You know what? Ask them again. I even mentioned to you that in Luke chapter 14, right up until the very last, right, that servant went out to try to get somebody to come to that supper. Here's what's funny. On the way over here this morning, I like to listen to preaching and things while I'm driving over here. I had this list, and I purposely printed the names on the list large so they'd be easy to read. On the way over here, I was praying again for the names of the people on this list. But I started driving over here, and it wasn't even 9 o'clock yet, and the service was going to be at 11 for them. So I just said, Lord, you got time. You still got time for people that are on this list to get here, even if maybe they were thinking about changing their mind. I was praying over these names. And when I got to the end of this list, a name came to mind right as I turned off of 44 and crossed the tracks of somebody that I didn't invite, who lives in Goliad. Okay, 907. Yeah, he's still got time to make it. So I sent him a text. I dictated it. I sent him a text. I dictated, and then when I got in here, I pushed send and invited him to come. And you know what? I got a text during the service this morning. He said, I can't make it today, but I'll be there next week. What time is the service? And I've asked him before to come. You know, it's kind of interesting because I had said to you, even up right until the last, it's okay. You know, it'd be a great surprise and also a great joy to see him walk in the door next week. We had the service on an invitation. It was delivered less than 2 hours before the service time. Keep asking. Keep asking. They don't often come on the first invitation. I was talking to one of our ladies this morning, and she was disappointed. I could see as soon as I walked in over there from outside there after Sunday school, I looked, and she was sitting over here, and she had that. So I kind of did like this, and she shook her head like this, and I walked over there, and she goes, she really wanted to come, but two of her children have sinus infections this morning. She said she can't come. I said, well, that's the second time you invited her, right? The third time is the charm. She got a big smile on her face. I will. I'll invite her again. You know what? People sometimes have to be asked on several occasions to be able to come to a service. Don't be discouraged that somebody who said they would didn't, or somebody that you thought would didn't. Ask and ask again. He said, well, they might get worn out with it. This judge avenged her of her adversary. He said, lest she weary me. I had people that I've invited to so many of these, I've lost track of how many times I invited. And I got a telephone call from one of those this afternoon at 5 o'clock. And I heard on the other end, well, like this.
I was thinking about coming. But as you can tell, kind of sick.
I said, boy, I can.
He said, you're probably glad I didn't come today.
Isn't that cool that he would even think to call? That just tells me that we're a little bit closer now, right, than we were before. Keep asking. They don't often come on the first invitation, sometimes the second. Some of the people that have come here that have gotten saved are people literally that we have been talking to about the Lord over a very long period of time. And that's okay. That's okay. The Bible says her continual coming. So what did we learn from what we've seen today and what we've seen in the Scripture? Invite many, pray often, keep asking. Invite many, pray often, keep asking. Why? Because that works. Now, here's something also to think about. on this special day, we did not suspend Sunday school and go through the great exercise of a gospel brunch. That's a very special thing. We didn't do like we've done on some occasions and host a big picnic out in the yard with guys that can sing bluegrass, gospel music, and a big feast of potluck supper. We just simply said, invite your friends, and we'll preach the gospel, and we'll have a little gift for them. And truly, the gift wasn't why most of them came. They came because you asked them. What am I saying? I'm saying this. We don't have to wait until a special day to ask somebody to come to church with us. Because what's special is this, and I've heard it so many times that I now know for sure that it is a true testimony. There are people that will come here on your invitation or mine, and they will say, I've heard it so many times, preacher, I don't know how you knew, but that message you preached today is exactly what I needed to hear. In other words, somewhere during a Sunday morning message, we're going to include the gospel because we recognize we have people here that aren't saved. But it's not generally the bulk of the message. The bulk of the message is to help us grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and to learn more about charity and the great spiritual truths of the Bible and to learn more scripture and to draw closer to God and to be stronger in our walk and have more wisdom. But somehow or another, on the day that the people you invite come, they say, I don't know how you knew, but that's exactly what I needed. So you don't have to wait until a special day. You can actually look forward to somebody you invited today to be here next week, just like the guy that texted me back right after the service and said, I can't be there today, but I'll be there next week. What time is the service? So you can invite your friends to come to church and your neighbors to come to church anytime. We left invitations out there on the offering box. As a matter of fact, you ought to take a couple of those with you. You might see somebody who goes, you know what? You ought to come to church with us. We have a great preacher. I mean, really and truly, we didn't do something so special today that they couldn't be well received on what I would call an ordinary Sunday. We want to see people saved. And you know what? You witness. I don't know. Some of these were rededications. I know here and here, the people that came were people that genuinely had already been saved. But something in the message stirred them to solidify that, to strengthen it, to get closer to God from what they heard. But a number of these, I think 8 or 9 of these this morning, were people who, for the first time in their lives, trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they're going to be with you in heaven when you get there. And that, my friend, that's a remarkable, everybody in that foyer had a smile on your face today. So happy to see what God had done in the lives of other people for whom Jesus Christ died. I know in my life, a lot of times it's Saturday night and I didn't talk to anybody about coming to church during that week because we've just got the things we do. Let's be mindful of what we've learned and seen in this, that we can always invite, people can always come, and God can always save and bring people to Jesus that need to be saved. Isn't that a tremendous thing? Let me just repeat again. Whenever it comes to this work of the gospel, 3 things to remember from Luke. Number one, help me, invite many, because only a few of those you invite will come. Number two, pray often, because there are so many things that are needful besides just them getting saved. And prayer really works. And number three, keep asking, because they don't often come the first time you ask them. Now, I mentioned to you all the other day, I said, now when you ask them, invite them to come to lunch. And the 3 that came at our invitation today actually met us over at Land and Sea, and we had lunch together and had a good time of fellowship following the service. All those things that we talked about worked just exactly like we had talked to you about, and had a great time, wonderful time. to see people saved, people rejoicing, God working, the Holy Spirit present. Isn't it good to be in a service where you know God's there? I would say he's almost palpable. His presence is so evident. God, thank you for being here. That's what I say. Holy Spirit of God, thank you for working with liberty in spite of us. Jesus Christ, thank you for saving souls. We're here for you. It's a wonderful thing. Well, let's have a word of prayer. We'll enjoy some time of fellowship together. Look forward to seeing you on Wednesday night. And just keep on seeing what God can do.